It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, May 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. Starting today, the Colorado Department of Transportation will begin work on Highway 133 just east of Somerset. They'll be doing rockfall mitigation next to the Paonia Reservoir. Up to 20-minute delays should be expected from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday until the project is finished, which is planned for October. There will also be several days in June where the highway will be completely closed for blasting. A bill recently cleared the State House that would help address the negative factor. Several years ago, a law was passed that mandated schools be funded at least at the same rate of inflation. That worked until the economic crash in 2008. The state was broke and couldn't afford to pay the schools, so they only funded certain portions of the schools' budgets. That cutback had serious implications for school districts across the state, and they haven't forgotten. They've been tracking how much they say is owed them. That debt is called the negative factor. This is Scott Panko, the superintendent for Ouray School District.
Well, Senate Bill 267 gives about $25 million to the entire state, and unfortunately, when the governor had first put $200 million towards the negative factor, that was going to make a pretty good impact to districts, including our district. But when you've got almost about an $880 million negative factor, you know, a $25 million impact is not significant to most districts percentage-wise. When we were going to get the $200 million, our district was looking at about $85,000 in additional funding, which could have helped with increasing our vocational program, some technology, hiring some more support staff. And now, with the $25 million, which is much lower, our district's only going to see about $8,000.
Panko says that while he appreciates that the negative factor is being addressed, more needs to be done. The city of Montrose received a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency last year. Now the program is opened up for anyone who wants their property inspected for contamination. Kerwin Jensen is the Planning Services Manager for the city. He says the $400,000 grant is for voluntary testing.
Just allows any individual who feels their property may be underutilized or not being utilized to its highest value because they fear there may be some past history of contamination. They have the ability to use federal grant money to assess their property and see if there is, in fact, contamination. And many times, property owners find that there is no contamination.
Jensen says they're focusing mostly on reaching out to owners of property near the river. Historically, industrial properties were there, and the grant is meant for contamination, like asbestos or lead.
But these would be like former dry cleaning sites or areas maybe where there were above ground fuel storage tanks over time, you know, dating clear back to perhaps the 1930s or 40s. Some of these industrial or light industrial properties may have some level of contamination that can be assessed and looked at.
He says the main goal of the program is the cleaning up and revitalization of riverfront property in Montrose. A measure to eliminate immunity for public schools for school shootings, death, sexual assaults, and other serious injuries that happen to students on school grounds cleared the House Judiciary Committee last week. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Currently, public schools have absolute immunity. Michael Davis testified in favor of changing that. His daughter, Claire Davis, attended Arapahoe High School in Littleton. In 2013, a fellow student shot and killed her before turning the gun on himself.
This young man was known by the school to be volatile and potentially dangerous.
Legislative leaders in both parties are sponsoring Senate Bill 213. Schools must show reasonable care, and it would cap damages at $900,000 for multiple injuries per incident. Republican Representative Yulin Willett of Grand Junction voted against the bill.
It's almost impossible not to find something that couldn't have been done or should have been done better. The problem is not our schools. The problem is societal.
It still needs to make its way through the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Region 10 hired a consulting firm to help it identify economic development opportunities for Delta and Gunnison counties. As KVNF's Laura Palmisano reports, the agency wants to get feedback on recommendations the firm has brought forward.
Over the past 2 years, hundreds of coal miners in Delta and Gunnison counties lost their jobs. The decline in the coal industry has affected Western Colorado. That's why Region 10, an association of local governments, hired Utah-based consulting firm Better City. The company is analyzing ways to foster economic growth in the area, and the firm recently unveiled its first recommendations on how to do that. Better City suggests Delta County leverage its existing agriculture and manufacturing industries. It calls Delta County the hub of organic agriculture in Colorado, and says the county saw manufacturing jobs increase 19% between 2010 and 2014. The firm recommends the county promote these industries and find ways to help them grow. Michelle Haynes, the executive director of Region 10, talks about Better City's suggestions for Gunnison County.
A center of innovation in collaboration with the university there, which I think is something that they're very interested in, and looking at potentially expanding their outdoor sports to extreme athletic training and that sort of thing and building a brand there.
The public can give feedback on these ideas on Region 10's website. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
You can also find a link at kvnf.org. And finally, Haven House, the transitional living center in Olathe, has received some bad news and some good news lately.
The building they operate out of, where homeless families can find shelter and support, is owned by the county. It's been for sale since they moved in, but now it has a buyer.
A cash offer has been made, and the county wants cash, understandably.
That's Carolyn Carter, one of the founders of Haven House.
Right this minute, we don't know what's going to happen. We are looking at every option that comes along, and there are some. We just had a board meeting and are in pretty good agreement that even though it's an uncomfortable place to be right now, it's got good potential for working out for all of us. We don't want to put our people out, and I really don't think there's any danger of their being put out. We would have 2 months to resettle people if we must, but I hope it doesn't come to that.
She says that they're looking at options. The board could try to raise $250,000 in the next few days and buy the building for themselves. She says the board has also been in contact with the new potential owner, and things are looking good. Haven House might end up just renting from them with no interruption in service. Carter says they're not planning on shutting their doors anytime soon. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.